I have two announcements before we do the flag salute. One is that John Eric is not here tonight. His wife is very ill, and he is at the hospital with her. So I will, in fact, be running the meeting. And we're going to pull item... We're going to continue item 12A for the evening. Now, will we all stand, please? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Hanley.
There was no reportable action in closed session.
Okay. And now we have two presentations, beginning with one.
Yes.
Chuck is going to do.
Sure. I would like to take this moment to start the meeting on a good note. We want to present a certificate of appreciation to Vita Miller tonight, and I'll just read from the certificate. This certificate is hereby presented in grateful recognition of your many years of valuable service as a member of the Emergency Services Advisory Committee. We thank you for your dedication and support in assisting the Board of Directors in providing the highest, most cost-effective level of service to the community of Los Osos. I don't know how many years you've been on that committee. The whole 10 that I think that I've been involved, and I want to say thank you very much. And I don't know... you're not still on it.
Chuck and I have both been chair of ESAC, so if you could come up, and we'll give you the certificate.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and I want to call Phil up because Phil has a few words to say. This is our former chief, for those that don't know. Yeah, do it from the microphone, please.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the board, members of the audience, I once again appreciate the opportunity. I never thought I'd have another opportunity to come out and address the board in Los Osos, but I got a call from your current fire chief there, Josh, and told me what was going on, and I really felt impelled to come out. I can attest to when Vita joined the emergency services because it was just after I did. And so I would say it was probably 2005 or 2006, but not much. It would be early 2006, as I remember. And Vita, come on up here, Vita. Vita came up and she said, I'm a retired nurse, and my name is Vita, and I'm not really retired. I'm still a nurse, and I'm still working in healthcare, and I really have a passion for emergency or for medicine. And so I don't know anything about the fire department. You're in charge of the fire department, but I want you to tell me what to say and what to do. When you think is appropriate for medicine in Los Osos. And I didn't really say much because she's much smarter than I. She guided us through lots of stuff. You can attest or accredit Vita for helping push through the two AEDs that the district bought for the community of Los Osos, one over here and one at the library and one, where's the other one? At the community center, the second one. She helped get the most... progressive equipment for the paramedics, and she did more than just emergency services, did more than emergency medicine for the community of Los Osos and for this group. She helped keep things straight. She's very, very technically sound, and so when something came across a budget, when something came across in conversation, she was the one who went to her notes and said, wait a minute, 4 months ago you said you were going to do this, this, and this. And so Erica and I, and then Amy and I, and then Harmony and I would always look and go, okay, what possibly can Vita get us on? And we worked very hard to stay ahead of you because you held us accountable to ensure that we provided the best service for Los Osos. And so I really, really thank you for helping and working with us on behalf of Chief Turner, because you started with Chief Turner, on behalf of Chief Lewin, Chief Jenkins, Chief Jalbert now. And most importantly, on for me, I really, really, really thank you for all you've done for Station 15 South Bay and for County Fire, Cal Fire, and most importantly for the citizens of Los Osos. You're a very special lady, and you deserve all this.
Thank you.
I'm not sure I'm deserving of all that, but thank you very, very much. Really, I think this award should be for all of the firefighters and first responders in our community and those that we've had in the past, and they deserve all the kudos as well as Chief Fenaris does. And without them, we'd be in big trouble in this community. I've got to, as a nurse, got to see them in the ERs many, many times in my career, and I've always been so appreciative of all they do for everyone. So thank you all very much. Thank you.
Chief Taylor.
Good evening, Madam Chair and board members and those listening out in the field. My name is Josh Taylor. I'm your battalion chief for South Bay Fire Department, Station 15. Tonight, in addition to our normal fire department report, I just want to bring to everyone's attention, now that we're starting to do our sewer line connections into the water treatment plant, we found out about an incident or a situation that occurred in the community where probably not the best practices were done by the public tying into the sewer line. So they were why don't you hit the first slide. So with me tonight is Captain Brennan Colwell. He's also teaches our trench rescue class in the community as well as in the county and also statewide. And he's my subject matter expert. We're going to get him a chair here so he's not standing the whole time. Are you good? Okay. So the reason for this presentation, the location's not important, but what it is important is that we present to you what the picture here was taken the day after the collapse within inside the trench there. And the only reason we found out was at the grocery store, someone came to our staff and said, hey, did you know about this house over here? And we said, no. No one called 911 or called the fire station. And we drove over there, and this is what we had found. So maybe, Brendan, if you want to add any comments. Kind of what we want to bring this out to the public for them to see what could go wrong. And so by looking at this picture here, it's in your board packet as well. You can see that the trench is a lot smaller. How many minutes prior to the collapse were the workers in there?
So there was a homeowner that was working in here approximately 5 to 7 minutes before collapse. Without going into too much length in history, I mean, we're kind of in the plate safe business in the fire department, and we've been planning for this time in Los Osos for over 10 years with a trench program and a grant-funded trailer and all these things. That's why we teach the program out of Los Osos, was in preparation for this time right now for these types of responses. So this was a very serious and potentially deadly collapse that was what we call a near miss. The homeowner and some laborers that he had found were in here just minutes before, and this collapsed without any audio warning or any other kind of creaking or groaning or moaning. It just falls in, and if you're there, it's a done deal. It's a very, very technical, very hard thing to recover from.
Okay, the problem that we're seeing is that the public does not have to follow OSHA because it's on private property and they're not mandated to follow best practices. But what we have here, we have pictures of what they actually used for shoring. They used hollow core doors. And if you look, there's a 2x4 that's holding, and Brendan can talk the technical aspect of the, you know, what we would consider to be safe. And we're not advocating that you go out and buy trench boxes that they use when they put in the sewer lines. However, we've put some information on the website under the fire department site on best practices and where to go to get information for doing this type of work. I believe in this case, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the trench was pretty deep. That was probably the biggest problem that they had.
It was hard to tell exactly where, because so much soil had fallen in, but 5 to 6 feet of sand in Los Osos, which is very easy to push or move around. That's why homeowners get the idea that they can dig these trenches by themselves. You can't see in this photo, but it runs the entire length of the house over 50-some feet all the way to the back, because they were tying into the septic tank in the back all the way along the front. Like Chief Taylor mentioned, there's good, safe practices on a good, simple video for basic safety that we put on the CSD webpage. If people are trying to attempt this at home, you can refer them to that. If somebody, your neighbor out there is doing it, you can have them come to the station. If they want safety tips, if they want us to come and check the safety of what they're doing, they're not covered by OSHA regulations, so they can do whatever they're going to do. But we can't. We're professional rescuers, and we have to do things by OSHA rules and regulations. So
one other thing with that time frame, chances of survival, even with our quick response, we would have been to that residence in less than 5 minutes, probably 4 minutes. They would have perished had they been inside there. The amount of work it takes to set up, we would have had to move that. They call it a spoils pile. That's where all the material is left on the driveway. We need a safe working area, because we now have to go in, and we have a bad spot that we've got to make better for us, because we don't want to get hurt. And in order to have a good working area, it would have taken us a while to make access to the victims had there someone been in there. What would be the pressure of that potentially? Is it hard to say what the pounds per square inch? I mean, how much force would be on a body?
It's not the pound per square inch, but a cubic yard of soil will weigh over 500 pounds. And when you think about how you're digging to lay a pipe at the bottom of a trench like this, you're not in a strong anatomical position. You're bent over, you're working down by your feet, so it's only going to take 150, 75 pounds to collapse you onto the ground. So when you've got 500 plus pounds from 1 cubic foot of soil, you're not going to be able to get up or withstand that weight, no matter how strong you are. So it's really to raise awareness for you as you drive around town. Refer to the webpage, have them come visit the station. We don't want to see this happening again. It's not a good situation.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Someone was wise to buy that trench rescue equipment.
That's correct.
Phil?
Okay, that's all I have for our presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lights would be good. Now we'll take public comment for items not on the agenda.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I'm just gonna take this moment to also thank Vita Miller. I think I was the chair when she was appointed, so it's been a good long time ago. And I have to tell you that what I've appreciated most, as Phil said, she's held them accountable, they being Cal Fire, he the chief. But she's an advocate for this community, and wherever she sees something that might be awry, she has no problem pointing it out. And, you know, this district's been through a lot of financial issues, and her scrutiny over the financials at the fire department has been very valuable, and I think her work in this community should be appreciated, and she's a champion for Los Osos and a hero of mine. So thanks.
Richard Margeson, I wasn't going to make public comment, but neither Phil nor Julie mentioned something. Phil wouldn't have mentioned it because he might not have remembered the history, but Vita was instrumental in the passage of AO5. She was part of that group. She was also part of the group that defeated the first fire attacks. So she had the vision back then that if we got CAL FIRE in here, it would be a savings to the community, and it eventually would work out to, you know, the great level of service we have now. But that was before Phil. So she not only was a member of the committee all those years, she was working before that to get what we have now, which is exceptional. So thank you.
Good evening, Lindy Owen. I just wanted to congratulate you on being able to take out community members that have volunteered for long periods of time and replace them with people that have never been to a meeting. So again, it's RCSD at its worst.
Hi, it's Vita again. I just want to say I do feel compelled that when someone has a two-year term, that should have been honored. So I wanted to make that statement. But I wanted to thank people like Lindy, too, who served many, many years on committees and I'm sure had as much, if not more, input into this community and the way things were done and have been done right in this community. So thank you to Lindy. Thank you to anyone who served on the committees. And thank you again. But I do hope in the future, if you make a policy, if you think, you know, I was in the middle of a two-year term and I did expect I was going to be able to finish it out. And I had intended that that was going to be my last term. I kind of think that should have been respected, but thank you.
Any more public comment? Seeing none, we'll close that part of the agenda. Chief Taylor.
Okay, good evening again, Madam Vice President and Honorable Board. So I'm going to talk about our emergency activity for the past month, for January. South Bay Fire Station 15 responded to 129 calls in January with two back-to-back calls. None of the calls required advanced life support. None of the simultaneous calls required advanced life support. Of these 129 incidents, 88 were medical, with 55 requiring advanced life support. Our company 15 was called to cover the station or respond to emergencies in the month of January a total of 12 times. During the month of January, all Station 15 South Bay Reserve firefighters successfully completed their annual respiratory protection plan medical evaluations, and they were cleared to be fit tested to work in with wear SCBAs. In January, we have completed all of our 2017 reserve firefighter employment contracts. They've been filed with the district. During the month of January, we've also transitioned to a new payroll system in partnership with the district staff. And 5 of the 9 prospective South Bay Reserve firefighter candidates completed their required training and took necessary steps to complete the Station 15 rookie task book and are on their way to becoming responders in the on the fire apparatus. Let's see. On January 2nd, as part of Needs and Wishes Foundation, a special day at the firehouse, certificate was honored by Station 15, South Bay staff. Firefighters picked up Matt, a 7-year-old boy, along with his two sisters and father. They were provided a short tour of the fire station and fire engine, and they had an ice cream party at the fire station. And they also got to ride the fire engine to meet up with their grandparents. So that was great. For training from January 12th through the 26th, the Estero Bay CERT held 5 evening classes, totaling 20 hours of training in all, with 50 students in attendance. And that's not just Los Osos, but a good percentage here. The hands-on training taught individuals to be better prepared in the event of a major disaster. Participants learned how to turn off utilities, as well as firefighting and medical skills, hazardous materials, and terrorism awareness, light search and rescue techniques, and self-reliance. This was booked to capacity and was sponsored by the San Luis Obispo County Fire Chiefs Association, Sheriff's Advisory Council, in cooperation with Station 15 South Bay, Morro Bay Fire Department, and Cayucas Fire Department. And then finally, on January 18th, 2017, 25 out of the 26 reserve firefighters attended high-performance CPR training, which is the new standard nationwide for CPR, and they all got recertified for 2 years. Any questions or comments from the board? All right, thank you.
Utilities Department? Oh, I'm sorry. No, Sheriff Taylor. Commander Taylor.
Good evening. For the period between February 2nd and today, the Sheriff's Office received 445 calls for service in Los Osos. Included in that number were 52 traffic stops by deputies on vehicles that were either suspicious or were stopped for a vehicle code violation. There were 16 pedestrian contacts where a deputy stopped a person on foot. We had 10 foot patrols conducted in town. There were 19 alarm calls, 7 residential, 12 businesses. There were no losses associated or reported to us. We had 40 disturbing the peace calls. They ranged from transients causing a disturbance in the park to subjects fighting in the street and several domestic violence calls. There were 2 vandalisms. One was on the 14th of February. Radiator on a parked car was punctured with an ice pick in the 400 block of Lilac. And on the 19th of February, we had a mailbox damaged in the 2400 block of Tierra Drive. There were 2 theft reports reported to us, 2 thefts of loose change from unlocked cars. One was parked in the 1100 block of 5th Street, and the other one was in the 1200 block of 6th. We had an attempted burglary, actually 2. One was on the 2nd. Suspects attempted to pry open a door to the Trinity United Methodist Church in the 400 block of LOVR. There was no entry made into the building, and no loss was sustained. On the 9th, February, we had a suspect enter the storage shed in the backyard of a residence in the 2100 block of Mountain View. However, the owner said that nothing appeared to be missing from the shed. There were objects moved around, and there was a footstool that had been removed and used by the suspect to get back over the fence when they left the yard. We had two assaults. The first was on February 16th. We had a man who reported being attacked by 2 men and one woman in the 1200 block of 2nd Street. The victim could not or would not identify the attackers, but told the deputies the beating was in retaliation for an outstanding debt for drugs. We had an assault on the 18th of February. Male at a residence in the 1600 block of 5th Street reported being beaten by his roommate during an argument. That victim made a citizen's arrest against the subject, and the deputies took custody of them. There was a total of 5 domestic violence incidents reported. 4 of those resulted in arrests of the suspect. We had a total of 29 arrests. There were 9 warrant arrests, 4 domestic violence arrests, 4 public intoxication arrests, 5 arrests for possession of methamphetamine, 1 arrest for possession of a concealed weapon, 1 trespassing, 1 parole violation, and 1 probation violation, and then we had 2 arrests for possession of stolen property. This was kind of unique. We had a church in Cambria, the Presbyterian Church, that was broken into on the 10th of February. The burglary was discovered at 8 o'clock in the morning. Suspects had forced entry through multiple doors in the building with pry tools. They stole computer equipment, bank records, blank checks, and other items of value. On the same day, at about 11:48 p.m., deputies stopped a green Mercedes on South Bay at Santa Isabel in Los Osos and found all of the items of stolen property. And two suspects were arrested, a Russell Knapp and Alexander Lewis, arrested for possession of stolen property, and they've actually already pled guilty and are awaiting sentencing for the crime. The investigation is still continuing to determine if there were other suspects involved in the burglary. We have a scam that has been ongoing, and we had one incident of it locally. It's the Publisher Clearinghouse scam. We had the son of a 91-year-old victim who reported to us that their parent had been contacted by telephone by a female who told them that they'd won the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes. Suspect then convinced the victim to send approximately $4,500 in two separate payments to an address in Brooklyn, New York, via Western Union. The investigation that was conducted with the New York Police Department determined that the address in Brooklyn was occupied by a 77-year-old woman who had no idea what we were talking about. So what it appears is that there's an uninvolved, or there is an involved party that's using that address and essentially intercepting mail to it. So the police department in New York is going to follow up on trying to determine who that person is. We have another scam. It has not occurred in Los Osos yet, but I just learned about it today at our staff meeting. In the South County, they've had a couple of incidents where people are receiving emails. They are members of homeowners association boards, various associations where there is some account. There's a treasurer. They're receiving an email, and it's being directed. It looks like it's coming from the president or the chairman of that board, directing this person who has control of their funds to make payments to an address in an area that we're following up on. And we're not sure how they're getting the emails, but it's happened enough times that it's not a fluke, that we are preparing a media release to kind of alert everybody in the county about it. But anybody that's controls any funds or is a member of any board that has any funds they use for anything, if you're getting an email from somebody you think's on the board, please follow up with a phone call and confirm it is, in fact, the person that it purports to be, so we don't have any other losses. And that is the report for the month.
Questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, good evening, Board. I'm Margaret Faulkner. I'm here to report on the Utilities Department for the month of January 2017. Production for January was approximately 12 million gallons, and it represents an increase by approximately 8% when compared to last year at this time. Using the state's formula, our residential usage for that same period was 53 gallons per person per day, so our customers are doing a really good job with water conservation. 57% of the service area was billed for consumption of approximately 10 million gallons, and that was for the period of December 12, 2016 through February 8, 2017, and the revenue associated with that is $149,016. Now, this represents a decrease in consumption by 12%, but an increase in revenue by 4% approximately. In January, the crew had over 9 inches of rain to deal with in addition to their regular duties, and they performed a lot of groundskeepings at drainage basins and worked with contractors. In fact, the crew leader provided a successful shutdown of our water system for the intertie project that was going on over here on Los Olivos, and that was on January 13th. He did it at 3 a.m. just to minimize impacts to the businesses. So, also, as far as drainage is concerned, you can see I put in the little table from the county's website, and I've also adjusted it for our rainfall period being from April 1st through March 31st. So for 2016-17, we've got just over 17 inches already, and we haven't finished that year yet. And then 2015-16, there was over 16 inches of rain. So if you go to the Slo County website, you know, slocountywater.org, you can download all this information, and it goes back to 2005 and 2006, but I didn't want to take up all the page there. And as far as Vista and Bay Ridge are concerned, I'm looking forward to being able to file a notice of completion, a notice of termination, I should say. And I thank everybody involved in that. So this concludes my report for the evening. You did a great job.
Questions?
Is that it? Thank
you. Seeing none. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our general manager report.
Good evening. Staff has been working with the two bookkeepers on the transition. One of the issues that has come up is the budget toll and the accounting program has not been utilized, and so quite a few reports have been delayed in the process, but we're definitely getting a handle on that and we're moving forward. Staff, along with Rob Miller, has been working on specifications to replace much of this much-used generator for some of our pump stations, and this will be mobile so we can use it in any area, and we'll come back to the board with what we came up with next month is what I'm hoping for. We're also working on, we sent out an RFP for lab sampling, and we're hoping that we can maybe get some better rates, so we'll hopefully bring that up with the next budget when we're working on the budget for water. And staff has been working on updating the safety training program. With fire, John Madonna Construction was supposed to start work on February 28th on the sewer lateral. I believe it got put back a couple of times, but I think they're done now, and now we're just waiting for them to clean up.
They did not start construction.
Got delayed next Monday. All right, so that's been put back a couple of times, so we hope that to look for completion on that soon, and you guys as well. We've been working with fire to discuss vouchers and payroll issues. I met with Captain Colwell, who's gone, and Chief Taylor regarding the purchase of the medic rescue, extra costs, payment plans. And so these items are being brought to the board for general discussion on 12C. Parks and Rec, after the board's approval for staff to proceed with leasing agreement and environmental and permitting, process. We've been in contact with the county on the leasing agreement, and I've also spoken to the county parks and expressed our goals and expectations for the lease. We're working on 5-year renewable, rollover 10 years thereafter. We're hoping for no payments, use of the property as a fenced dog park, and no permanent structures to be added. The county planning office has contacted me regarding the habitat conservation plan. We will be working on changing the current designated usage from tennis courts to grass fence dog park. And Supervisor Gibson's office has been very helpful with this matter. No costs have been discussed yet, or we don't even know if there'll be any, so we're still working on that. Once the above items have been addressed, we'll still need to go out to the county for the change in use of the community plan. And we hope all these items can be addressed by the fall of this year. Until these items are addressed, we cannot move forward with anything else. So until we can do these items, and I'll get back to you with moving on and RFPs and everything else. Staff has sent out letters to all the residents and businesses that would that are neighboring the future dog park, and we're hoping for their comments and or suggestions that on anything we might have missed. We've met with several members of the public regarding wastewater semester charges and coordinating between the county and MBS, and we're hoping to that their questions are being answered, some water billing issues, and some dog park questions. And I've attended all the county meetings along with the county the district committee meetings, and I also was asked by the county to assist in interviewing the new superintendent for the wastewater treatment plant. And that was February activity.
Questions, comments?
What does NBS stand for?
I should know this by now. I don't know what that stands for.
Oh, okay.
But they're the company that's helping, that we hired to do the wastewater assessment. Like, they took over all that, and they're making sure, everything is
part of the waste, the assessment. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Doesn't really matter.
Okay. Thank you. There she is. Lokak, please.
Lynette Tornatsky. I'm the Secretary of LOCAC, and I'm giving the meeting minutes from February 23rd, 2017, our last meeting. Sadly, Chairperson Jeff Weir has announced that he's resigning, and the March meeting will be his last meeting. So that's difficult. We need some people. The sheriff gave his report, so I won't do that. The Highway Patrol report, we did not have one. The county staff report, Senior Planner Carrie Brown reported that the County Planning Commission reviewed the Oak Woodland and Pond ordinances, and they did add suggestions from LOCAC. She said that the ordinance would go before both of them would go before the Board of Supervisors for a March 21st hearing. So if you're interested, show up. That will be before the temporary ordinances expire. The community plan is delayed because the draft environmental impact report won't be available until June due to expensive revisions to the administrative draft. The public review copy of the Habitat Conservation Plan will be available in July of 2017. The county is working with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, but basically they're at their mercy. There's 6 more months worth of work to be done, and they can't put it out until it's published at the Federal Registry. Supervisor Gibson's report was next. And he commented on the glacial movement within the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and that he was advocating that things be sped up. There was quite a bit of concern from sewer service charges from the Prohibition Zone residents. The confusion was caused because of the timing on the Phase 1 properties. The charges that should have gone on the tax bill did not go on the tax bill and were mailed out on a separate letter, which caused a lot of confusion. He said that if you dispute the bill or ask for an adjustment, feel free to contact Bruce Gibson's office if there's any problems that you can't resolve. The Basin Management Committee had no formal meeting. He reported on that. He said that climate change was their biggest issue to look at. The adjudicated part of our basin is exempt from SGMA because we're adjudicated. However, the county was unable to convince the Department of Water Resources that the land east of our basin that goes all the way to Highland Ranch was not part of our basin, and they're going to try to correct this when they have the opportunity again in 2018. They are managing that part, properties on their own, so we don't have to have anything to do with that. He commented on the status quo budget this year at the Board of Supervisors and sounded quite disappointed that the highest priority they decided on would be that the county would work on roads instead of health and human services. A LOCAC member asked about the big picture in regard to the timing of the work on the Basin Management Committee and the Habitat Conservation Plan, how those two mesh together and how they're going to impact the community plan update. He said that they're all working in parallel and the delay in the HCP gives more time for the BMC people to work on the details. And everything, they're working with the staff on the Coastal Commission on that, and which also means we'll have more time to work on the community plan. Also, Chairperson Weir wanted to make sure that LOCAC was going to have participation in the new Los Osos Library. Public comments included, would there be a chance for reduced interest rate on the $69 million State Revolving Fund sewer loan? Supervisor Gibson said no, but he would, once things lightened up a little with the State Water Board, he'd visit another board member and try and make the case again, so that's not totally dead yet. The question came up, the Resource Management System Report package. When would that be out? Carrie Brown said the Coastal Commission was here in January, and they have delayed it. The county is trying to work with them, but there's apparently quite a difference in what they want and what the county wants, so it's an ongoing conversation. Tourism is being impacted by the closure of Highway 1. Supervisor Gibson said that it was in the hands of Caltrans and that they're very aware of the impact to business. There was no LOCSD report. The Chamber of Commerce report, I see Steve Vinson is here, so he will give that report. We had no projects on the consent agenda. There were three projects on the regular agenda. Land Use Committee Chairperson Julia Oberhoff introduced the three projects. One was amending the coastal development permit for the wastewater project to include the parcel into the wastewater service, and they were really kind of looking for a way to get that to the Coastal Commission to see if that was even possible, and there are many, many steps ahead for that project. A motion was made and seconded to approve moving the project to the Board of to the Coastal Commission, actually. So LOCAC voted. It passed 5-1 with one abstention. The other two projects were smaller projects that had intended to go on the consent calendar, and they were just mostly adding a detached garage and adding some more square feet to a house, and both of those passed 7-0, no abstentions. One person did apply and was accepted to be on LOCAC in District 1, and she will be seated at the next meeting. And let's see. There was some discussion about the timing of getting the reports that we get from the county to look at in the Land Use Committee. Sometimes they come in varying parts that they haven't been looked at by the county at all, and we find lots of mistakes, but there's no way to amend that, says Carrie Brown, because otherwise the projects would be delayed way too far, so we'll just have to get them the way they are. There was quite a bit of discussion on people sleeping in their vehicles and camping, and they are allowed to be in their vehicles in any one spot for 72 hours, but what happens is sometimes they'll move 2 feet and then they have another 72 hours. Commander Taylor said that unless there is a no parking sign at a certain time or a certain place, it's legal to do that. So in Oceano, they do it differently. There's a blanket no camping ordinance, so that's something maybe we'll look at in the future. Reverend Carolyn Hall from St. Benedict's Church announced a meeting, the Los Osos Cares Town Hall meeting, to address homelessness. It will be held at the South Bay Community Center Monday, March 6th at 6 p.m. It's sponsored by the Los Osos Community Coalition, People Helping People, St. Benedict's Episcopal Church, and the meeting adjourned at 8:20, and the next meeting will be March 23rd, 2017, and the minutes are not yet up on the website because I just finished them last night and haven't gotten them to the webmaster, so they'll be coming shortly. Any questions?
Thank you.
Mr. Vinson.
Madam Vice President, members of the board, members of the public, I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. Just a couple of things tonight. We're coming up on our big business expo, which is going to be held Friday, March the 17th from 5:30 to 7:30, St. Patrick's Day. So the theme is St. Patrick's Day, and it's going to be held at the South Bay Community Center. There's going to be corned beef and cabbage bowls prepared by the Baywood Ale House, green beer, wine, white wine, and so forth. So that's the 15th. I'm sorry, the 17th from 5:30 to 7:30. The chamber is sponsoring a trip overseas to Italy, Tuscany, and It's departing October 24th and comes back November the 1st. For more information, contact the chamber. We have an open date for our monthly mixer in April, so if you know any business that wants to hold their monthly mixer, please let us know. And lastly, we're looking for volunteers for our welcome center. You greet the public as they come in and help them out. It's tourists or it could be locals. We sell bus passes as well. It's a 3-hour shift. So if you want to volunteer, please give the chamber a call, 528-4884. Thank you.
Questions? Thank you. Could I have the Utilities Advisory Committee meeting report?
Yes. We met 10 days ago, anyway, at our regularly scheduled time, and had a presentation from the rate study group. We're not going to call them the subcommittee anymore. That was one thing we decided. We're still working out a real name, Water Heroes. We're not sure yet. But the key discussion that night were the missing elements that they need to plug into their equations that would determine just what revenues are projected. As you know, we have a rate increase scheduled for July 1st and another one for the following July 1st, but we're not meeting the targets that we thought we would when we did that rate study. So we want to revisit that and hopefully have any adjustments that need to be made in place by July 1st, which means that we would need to be approving the rate study, I think, at the April board meeting. So we're going to have a joint utilities finance meeting on the 16th, the regularly scheduled utilities committee meeting that night. And hopefully out of that committee meeting, we're going to have clear direction to the board regarding the three items that they're waiting to plug into their equations, and that would be the administrative allocation from the various departments, how much is coming from water, how much from fire, how much from drainage, the property tax issue, is it $200,000 or so roughly that goes to water. We've been talking for years about how the Golden State customers are subsidizing some of the CSD customers with that property tax. And so there was a discussion about how to make that fair. In the past, we've talked about moving it to a community-wide service like the fire department, drainage, something that everyone benefits from. There have been discussions about moving part of the money over the next 4 years so that we're not doing a tremendous hit all at once. And I expect board discussion will be robust about that particular issue. There weren't any directions, I don't think any clear directions given from the committee, but I think we're ready to really hash that out and at this joint meeting make decisions about recommendations to the board so that we may need a special meeting between the joint meeting and the regularly scheduled April meeting so that we can give firm direction to the rate study group to come back with the exact resolution that we want to approve at the April meeting. So we're going to be busy the rest of the month, but it's critical. The rate studies, you know, the 218 process is involved, and it's somewhat lengthy. So just backing that out from July 1st, we need to have some action by April board meeting. And that's really the substance of what we talked about.
Thank you very much. There are no questions, right? Okay, good. The Emergency Services Advisory Committee meeting focused primarily on the fire department's work plan. We discussed how we can help, and one of the major areas in which the committee members can help is getting grants for various expenses that aren't directly covered at this point. We did have a lively discussion on the consistency of minutes, etc., which I will address at another time. Finance Committee.
Could I go back 1 second to something that I forgot? The third, I feel like that. Oh, what was that other department I wanted to eliminate? the third leg of the information that the rate study group needs, and that is our reserves, how we plan to backfill reserves, how we plan to attack the reserves. We have policies about how much money to have in each of our reserve funds, but we're not there. And if we carry out some of the capital programs that we'd like to over the next year, we're not going to have anything in reserve, and that's not good. So that's the third item, and I'm glad I remembered.
Now,
me too.
You took the rest of off of what I was going to say. So, yeah. We had the same presentation and the same outlook that Chuck just talked about. I was going to add the third item, but you caught that. So, we came up with a date that was mutually agreeable to both committees, which is March 16th, which is the normal UAC meeting date. So, we'll be having that meeting at that point in time. We also had a discussion about the warrants that we had, and there was just some few questions, but they recommended that the board approve them. And then we've decided to change our meeting date to, we used to have our meeting date on the Monday before the board meeting, excuse me, but unfortunately staff didn't have time to respond to the comments that they got at the board meeting, at the committee meeting on Monday by Thursday, so we've moved our meeting up, so we'll be meeting the Thursday before the meeting every single week. This week we did not have the month. This week we did not have the budget spreadsheet, so we're going to have that hopefully from now on. But so anyway, we will be meeting the Thursday before the board meeting. And that's all I have to report. We look forward to a productive session on the 16th.
Do any directors have announcements of community district interest?
I do. I have a ton.
You have a ton?
Yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Well, then you go first.
Okay. First of all, I've got three things to report on. The Special Districts Association, we're going to have our monthly meeting on March 29th at Upper Crest. We're trying a new venue here. That's when we'll be getting our update from the tax assessor's office on what the tax collections will be. I know we just got an update today, but this will be even more of an update. So we're going to have Barbara Gooden from the tax assessor office, who is retiring. She'll also be bringing her successor to introduce them to us. So for any board member, we're looking forward to that, again, on the 29th. LAFCO, I'm the chair of LAFCO, so we're looking at the sphere of influence for the Los Osos CSD. There's no changes proposed in the sphere of influence for the CSD, so that looks like it may go relatively smoothly. Last but not least, and this will take me a little bit longer, I am also the chair of the estuary program, and we had our meeting in February. And I just wanted to, there's some things in there that have a major impact on our community, so I wanted to go over that in a little more detail. We looked at our 2018 work plan, and we didn't adopt it, but we'll be doing that at our May meeting. But the issue is, as I think everybody can understand, we don't know what our funding is going to be for the upcoming year because of the new president and the budgetary cuts. It seems, the information we got from NEP is that it looks like we can plan on a level funding. So that's what we've developed our work plan task from. And then we had a priority session to talk about what the highest priorities are. Our highest priority is the monitoring program coordination of impacts on the estuary program. And then secondly was the education program and outreach program that we have with the communities. We also talked about our restoration fund, our five-year plan for that. The restoration fund is that's money that was given to the estuary program as part of the legal settlement with Diablo Canyon. So that's money that we spend basically the interest on and keep the principal earning. Wacker & Associates has a relatively conservative investment strategy, so we talked about that. We had a discussion about updating our bylaws, which we're going to do at our next meeting. We also had talked about the Charles Creek Ecological Reserve Project. I don't know if everybody's familiar with that, but it's the area that drains into the bay from the Morro Bay side. The project right now has the designs completed for about 60 to 65% of that project. So if anybody's interested in that, they can go to the NBNEP website and look at that. And it's almost last but not least, we had an upgrade on the update on the eelgrass. And this was really, to me, the most interesting thing, because the eelgrass has been in decline for about the last 5 or 6 years. Nobody's still able to understand why that occurred, but the eelgrass is coming back significantly, especially in our end of the bay, where there was eelgrass before and it was basically non-existent, and we did eelgrass transplanting, which wasn't taking, but now we've got in some areas almost 50% recovery of the eelgrass. My gut reaction to that is it's because of the lack or the reduction of the nitrates out of the upper aquifer from the septic systems, but that's just the speculation because we have no scientific data for that. That's or it could be rainfall. I mean, we don't know. We have our schedule for things coming up in the future, and I just wanted to throw out a couple of things. I'll have a schedule for the April things that I'll give out at our next meeting, but two things that are going to occur in the beginning of April that I'll lay out there is, first of all, April 1st, which is April Fool's Day, obviously. But we're going to have a presentation of our environmental report card on water quality, bacteria, and shellfish farming, accompanied by, and this is the intriguing part, launch of an estuary-themed beer brewed by Libertine at their Morro Bay location. So we're going to have a Morro Bay Estuary Libertine beer, and that's on April 1st. I will get the information. We put that on our website. But it will be an environmental report card on the quality bacteria and shellfish farming out on the bay. And then April 8th, we have our event at the Slow Botanical Gardens, our annual event there, which is a good event. And then we have a number of other events, but I'll put those, get those to Ann, and we can put those on the website. Those are later on in April. Last but not least is May 20th, our annual Dog Fest, which is a dog-themed event with the clean water message and the importance of mutt mitts and how bad dog poop is for the bay. I can't stress that enough. That's the biggest pollutant of the bay. Dog mitts are critical, okay? So that's all I got, only three things.
Anyone want to try to compete with that? Okay. I do want to say that I am continuing on with my training. I have completed one, and the next one will be completed tomorrow. Do we have any previously asked questions to answer? Okay. Thank you very much. All right, now it's time for public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
Pardon me.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you have to ask if anybody wants to pull an item first.
Yes, it just was occurring to me. Thank you for the reminder. Yes. Does anyone want to pull anything from consent? Okay, seeing none, we'll go do comments.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I have a previously asked question that I'd love an answer to. Has Standard & Poor's restored your bond rating? So that would be one I'd like to hear. Chuck, you mentioned the property tax allocation, and you said Golden State customers are subsidizing LOCSD customers. That property tax is community-wide. So that's private well owners, S&T Mutual, and Golden State Water customers are subsidizing the Los Osos CSD water customers. So I think we need to remember that it's a bigger picture. And when Marshall talked about the joint, I guess both of you did, the joint meeting with UAC and FAC, I'm reminded that in May last year you had a joint meeting. You faced head-on the sad state of affairs in the water department with the shortfalls, and that this need for a rate increase was upon us. And the message that came out of that meeting and has been deaf, silent since, mute, is the education, education, education. And this district has not been educating the water customers about the need for a rate increase and the reasons why. And so I think when this does come on them, there will be pushback because there's not a good education program because you guys aren't even talking about it. So I think that's a very unfortunate. The item on Vista and Bay Ridge and the turnover to the county, I'm disappointed that the, as of August, Bay Ridge had $136,000 debt. Vista had $16,000 in debt. Those things are not being handed over to the county with the properties, with the collection system. And you need that money. Your water system, your ratepayers need that money. And the last thing you talked a little bit about, it, Renee did in the in her report about the dog park lease. Did any of you, in particular Chuck and Marshall, did you walk that property? I'd ask that you would, because there's some disturbance on the property that I don't want you buying somebody else's liability. There's some habitat disturbance that the county did with the tennis court reconstruction. And so I caution you on that one.
I want to follow up on Richard Margetson, sorry. I want to follow up on Chuck and the discussion of the joint meeting and what needs to happen after that. The rate group, and I think we'd rather be called the 3 R's than some of the other things thrown around. we met today. We found the errors in the spreadsheet. So we now have that worked out, and we're now able to plug almost any scenario into it and produce potential future revenue per year. The bulbs all went off today, and we were all on the same page. And on our end, we're pretty much done and waiting for you. What I ask, and this is coming from the group, please make sure that the agenda item for this meeting, this joint meeting, is written in a all-inclusive manner. That I know you want to talk about the property taxes. I also know you want to talk about the reserves, and I know you want to talk about the administrative allocation. But let's make sure there's an area in there where other things can be discussed and recommendations can be made to the board, because we've had this problem in committees before. If the agenda item isn't written specifically a certain way, recommendations aren't moved towards the board, and they have to from this committee. From this meeting especially, it has to happen. I also asked that as part of the packet that a copy, and it just needs to maybe be the page dealing with the policy for reserves dealing with the water department. That be part of the packet to each board member or committee member so they know what we're talking about when we get to that specific item. I'm pretty sure Rob plans on bringing, you know, the PowerPoint to put everything up on the wall. I also recommend as part of the education, we recommend as part of the education process that at your April meeting, if it's ready to go by April, that there's enough time to have a thorough presentation of the PowerPoint that the committees have seen. It's a shame that John Eric didn't get to see it at one of the committee meetings. I think he's the only director that hasn't seen it. Can I just finish?
One more sentence.
But I think that and the way Rob presents it will give the community an idea of how we got here, that, you know, the water conservation issue that or the water conservation that the community has implemented is part of the reason that we're here on shortage of revenues. And then, you know, like I say, make sure that there's enough leeway so we can talk about other things that the board needs to take into consideration when they're making their decision in April.
Thank you. Any other public comment? I'll bring it back right now just for you.
Okay, before I make a motion here, I would just like to respond to what Richard said. It's our intent that Chuck and I and Rob are going to get together to formalize the agenda so before it goes out. So we'll work with Rob cooperatively to make sure that everything that he feels needs to be in there is in there. So if you guys, the rest of your committee, wants to communicate that to Rob, when we get together with Rob, we'll have all that information. Okay. So the three of us are going to get together to finalize that agenda. So with that, then I will go ahead and make a motion to go ahead and receive and file the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
We have to take roll call because we have resolutions.
Sorry. Thank you.
It's always that nitpicky stuff.
It's okay.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
Vice President Millage?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're moving on to general action items. And just a reminder, we are continuing item 12A. So we'll move directly on to item 12B. And you're up again.
Hello. We've been given a task by the county clerk quarters office. They would like for us to consider a request to use the district boardroom as a vote center in 2018. Staff recommends approval of the county's request. This will only impact the general manager by setup and breakdown of the current tables and chairs, some minor sound system breakdown, and will be avoided at all costs. As far as discussion, the county and the San Luis Obispo will partake in a pilot study, and the county clerk recorder's office is seeking 13 voting centers in order to fulfill the SB 450, the California Voters' Choice Act. The purpose of this voter center is for any voter to be able to drop off their ballot or have another one issued if they lost the one that was mailed to them. The room will be used for 4 days straight from Saturday, June 1st through Tuesday, June 4th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Election Day 2018. So we don't see any financial impact to us except for some minor electric.
Any comments or questions?
I think this is a very worthy endeavor, absolutely.
Some of the dates are the first week of the month. I assume that they're going to be out of here before we have our board meetings that particular time. if they're out of here at 5?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, except on election days.
The only thing is we'll have to be very...
Julie Tacker, and my only comment is that my concern was, is your landlord notified? Are the other tenants in the shopping center notified, and are they amenable? You do have some parking issues. I've seen fender benders in this parking lot, and I don't want to see any of our citizens end up in a mess out there. That's my only concern.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I think so we need to give direction to staff, and I think that I'd like to can I make a motion, Roy, or how should I do this?
You can make a motion.
Okay. I'd like to move that, first of all, that we do address the issue that Julie raises with the landlord. And to make sure, as long as the landlord's amenable to this, I'd like to move that we go ahead and agree to do this.
I'll second that.
Do we need a roll call for this?
Oh, good.
Not a resolution.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Here. Now you're on. This is the fire department's night.
Thank you again, Madam Vice President and Honorable Board. I am Josh Taylor, your Battalion Chief for Station 15. Tonight we have I have two other items to address. Item 12C is adopting a resolution to authorize the General Manager to purchase the new Medic Rescue in the amount of $171,500. The resolution before you, excuse me, staff recommends that we adopt the following resolution, and that'll be for you guys to say what the motion is. I won't go into that, but the discussion for tonight is we want to authorize the immediate purchase of our new Medic Rescue vehicle. And we discussed this at the April 19, 2016 Emergency Services Advisory Committee, and it was recommended by ESAC at the May 18th meeting. The Medic Rescue is expected to cost nearly $171,500 for total replacement. This amount includes a 10-year body warranty, 3-year or 36,000-mile chassis motor warranty, and 1 full year warranty on parts and workmanship. On June 21st, we advertised for bids, and we have six. We went out to six different fire apparatus builders. Out of those, only three returned bids, and those are in your staff report. The fiscal year 2016-17 budget was approved by the Los Osos CSD board to enable the purchase of this replacement vehicle from Fund 301, and not to exceed $170,000. We're requesting an additional $1,500 for the cost associated with the purchase of a larger truck chassis. Sufficient funds are available to cover the cost, and as part of this agreement with a Firematic Supply Company, a Pierce Manufacturing Company, a $4,200 discount will be applied with a 100% cash prepayment at contract signing, and we'll talk about that under item 12D. Is there any questions or comments from the board? Oh, keep going. Sorry. Thank you. C and D. A and B? 12C, A. 12, I gotcha. Okay. Sorry. I'm learning at this. Okay. So under agenda item 12C, number B, or letter B, we're currently reviewing the bid. We have the bid in front of you, and we wanted to bring discussion up about the 100% prepayment at contract signing for the $4,200 discount. So we've purchased two vehicles, current engine 215 and previous engine 215 from Pierce Manufacturing that met specifications upon delivery and have had less maintenance issues year after year than other fire manufactured vehicles. Pierce was established in 1913, and it's one of the premier manufacturers for custom fire and rescue apparatus. It's a wholly owned subsidiary of Oshkosh Corporation, which is a Fortune 500 company, and they are leading the industry in fire apparatus design. The contract from Firematic Supply Company, a Pierce Manufacturing Company, outlines three inspections prior to acceptance that will ensure the Los Osos Community Services District receives a quality product. This includes a pre-paint inspection wherein staff will examine the size, location, and quality of work before paint application, a post-paint inspection, and a final inspection. Our staff and myself, we're very comfortable with the prepayment discount and is confident that the Pierce Rescue Ford F-550 is the vehicle that will best serve the community of Los Osos. And then one last thing, Pierce Manufacturing is the only fire apparatus manufacturer with the local service repair center in Paso Robles. So with costs ranging from $6,000 to $10,000 to transport a vehicle from Los Osos to the next closest manufacturer repair center, Bakersfield, Fresno, or Los Angeles, Pierce does have a local vendor in Paso Robles that we can take our vehicles to for repair, and this is a huge benefit for us. I'll be happy to answer any questions or comments you might have.
I have a question.
Yes.
Considering the problems we had with engine 215, I'm leery about the prepayment because of all the problems we had with 215 when we bought it.
Current engine 215 or the prior engine 215?
Current 215, the one we bought jointly with Pismo Beach.
No, that's engine 15.
Engine 15.
Yeah, and that's a different vendor. That was a Spartan ERV, so it's a different manufacturer. Engine 215, which is our...
Engine 15, the one we bought in conjunction with Pismo Beach. So it's a different vendor, though.
That's correct.
Okay.
And as an item of note, the company that built Medic Engine 15 did not even bid on this apparatus. We asked them, and they didn't even give us a bid.
Thank you for that bit of information. I don't think they would have had much of a chance, at least with me.
Correct.
But
Mr. Hanley.
Thank you. And I don't have any information that would be contraindicate any of the nice things that your battalion commander has said about the vendor. Just briefly from our staff perspective, the prepayment is something that makes us nervous, and it's highly unusual. You know the types of that. I hate it when lawyers do what I'm doing, which is list horribles, but
it's your job.
Yeah, sometimes it's our job. An alternative for you would be to approve the resolution, and instead of authorizing $171,500, is add $4,200 to the amount of your authorization and not do the prepayment. But that's up to you. It's I can't quantify in dollars for you the risks of a prepayment contract as compared to paying over time in progress. But it's something I just felt that needed to be on the table so that you considered it and you weighed those when you made your decision.
Chuck?
Yeah, before I approve the prepayment with a discount, I'd like to see just what other benefits we might accrue with using that money in different ways. If we made a payment plan, I mean, are we going to make $4,200 in interest on, I don't know. I haven't seen that laid out. But we do need the engine. We got to get it. We know that. That was embarrassing.
The current Medic Rescue 15s has...
That was an embarrassing night when you went through all the downtime that those engines have had.
It's pretty easy to do the math because you don't make hardly any money.
That's
on your account. Right. So the reason for authorizing an expenditure of the additional $4,200 isn't that you're going to make money by delaying the expenditure. It's just a balancing of the risks of prepayment versus not. That's all it is.
And I just wanted to add that it wasn't like payments like you would on a car. Like we were just one of the where we had started off was, you know, we obviously wanted to pay it off, have it quickly done before the end of the fiscal year because that's a fiscal year purchase. So we definitely want to have then, and we wanted to make like maybe three big payments. Personally, I guess that's where I was, is that I felt like we'd have a little bit of control if the guys didn't like what they were seeing or whatever, they'd be able to say, no, you need to change that, because it's very, Brendan spent a lot of time on personalizing this truck. I mean, this is going to be their truck. And so I guess that's a problem I have, is if we give them all the money up front, what do they have to say, we don't, that's not what we wanted, you know, so that's the problem, not the payment part, which would have been just three payments or whatever. It's that. We're just not sure about that part. The leverage. Yes, thank you, the leverage. I don't feel we have leverage.
Correct. And, can I speak?
Yes,
you can. Sorry. I'd just like to say that I do understand your reservations. However, the manufacturer builds hundreds of apparatus annually, and doing it this way, we also still have the three inspections, and at any point we make it right. We don't allow them to continue when we go for the pre-paint. If they had screwed something up, we don't continue on until that's meets the status of the contract. So if it's not that we're going to have a lot of quality control built in to it. I mean, we don't have to drive the vehicle back from Pierce if it's not what we want. So I just want to throw that out there that is, we do have the three options, the three inspections to go and look at it. And while we were under the guise of we wanted to stay within budget, and so that was our way of getting it under budget. So if the board wishes to do something, amend it, as our district council brought up, that would be fine with us as well.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
If you didn't get the discount, but traded that for an earlier delivery, would that be useful for you guys?
Well, the delivery is the same. I'm sorry.
It's always the same, huh? Okay.
Yeah, so currently the cab and chassis is sitting there at Pierce. They have a white cab and chassis that meets our specifications. That's why the additional $1,500, that was to get our gross vehicle weight ratio up to a higher level, and then we're waiting for them to build the actual box on the back.
Okay. We'll take public comment now.
Richard Margetson. Pierce is a huge company. I don't think they're going to shaft a small district. You know, they've got to have the knowledge that we need other vehicles coming down the road that they may end up purchasing also. And, you know, $4,200. I'm sure the chief has something. You know, we heard at the committee meeting some of the things that he needs replacement on. I'm sure $4,200 goes a long way towards doing some of that. There is a lot of quality control built into these things. One of my questions is, I see that it's going to be built on the East Coast. Will there be three trips to the East Coast to review it?
That's correct.
Okay. Is that part of the cost? Of the ones, anyway, I'll ask my question. He can answer. $171.50, or is that additional cost to the district? And, you know, I'm going to beat this until I'm not coming to these meetings anymore. AO5 gave us the ability to pay for this in cash. AO5 and the changeover to Cal Fire, the $250,000 annual savings from year one allowed us to establish a reserve to buy vehicles. Other districts, many other districts in this county, are financing everything. And if we had to finance this, it'd be more than $4,200 difference over the life of the the thing. So if he's comfortable with taking the chance, I think we have to go with the chief's recommendation. We need this. It's time. And I don't think this company is going to do us wrong in the long run. So thank you.
Any other public comment? Seeing none. Any further reflections?
Well, I may have probably the attorney in me speaking, but I'm really not comfortable with the prepayment. I would prefer that we amend the motion to add that amount to the 171. I mean, that's where I'm coming from. So,
go ahead.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time wanting to go against counsel on this one too.
If there's no other comment, I'll make a motion that we approve it with the addition of the $4,000 to the 171.
$4,000
or whatever the number is, right? 71,500 plus the 4,000, whatever, $4,200.
$175,700.
Yes. So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
A little variety there.
Roll call. Director Hilsky.
Yes.
Director Tornatsky.
Yes.
Director Sasania.
Yes.
Vice President Millage.
Yes.
Thank you.
You got your truck.
Thanks for your patience.
It's all good. You guys do great. Actually, the guys do.
Moving on to action item D. Do we wish to nominate someone for the Coastal Network Seat C on the CSDA Board of Directors?
Yeah, as the president of the CSDA chapter and involved in the statewide organization, Vince Ferrante, who is our existing representative, is running for re-election, and I think he's done an awesome job. So I personally think we should just support him rather than nominate somebody of our own. So.
Any discussion?
If he's willing to do it.
He's running for re-election.
What
so.
He said.
Okay. So any public comment on this item? Then I'm ready to entertain a motion.
Actually, if you take no action at all, you don't need a motion.
So. Cool. Okay, so we had no pulled consent items.
We do need to talk about future agenda items.
Yes.
Because we do need to make sure we bring back what's going to happen at the joint meeting of UAC and FAC. Chuck talked about potentially scheduling a special meeting. I don't know if that's a doable thing or even a necessary thing, but I think as a future agenda item, staff needs to look at that and make sure that we're going to be able to take a definitive action by
at the April meeting.
At the April meeting, right.
That's the bottom line, is right. that we need to approve whatever the board wants to do on that day.
Yeah, we'll have the meeting on the 16th, which will give us basically two weeks and a day before our next board meeting. So hopefully they can put together a robust package, and then that committee can give us the information we need. And I think when Richard said that, you know, now they've, for lack of a better term, cleaned up the program so they can run a mm-hmm. whole series of alternatives, I think that will be, or different scenarios, I think that will be helpful. So,
oh, certainly. Yeah.
So I just want to make sure that staff understands the importance of this as far as everybody's concerned, because it is a major budget implication.
And if we take action in April, we'll have to find something else to talk about, because this has been around for a couple of years, both of these items.
I bet we can find something.
That was my future agenda item discussion.
Dog park.
Any other future agenda items to consider? Okay, then. Closing board comments. We'll start with Lou.
Well, I'm sorry John Eric couldn't, and I hope it all goes well for him. Sorry I wasn't here. Think about it.
Yes, most definitely our thoughts are with them. And thanks to the three R's for all the work you've put in so far. And I hope we keep this moving ahead. I think so.
Other than I've already expressed my comments, I think, in the future agenda item. But again, yeah, I think all our best wishes are with John Eric and his wife. So,
yes, absolutely. And if I hear anything tomorrow, I will disseminate the information, and y'all can put that up somewhere. All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
You can just adjourn.
I'm adjourning.
Yeah, because we're not going to argue about that.